Let's see. I know my mother's father was a policeman. My mother was born in Daugavpils, and he was a policeman. Father was born in Siberia. Yeah, Omsk, Siberia. And before they left, they were farmers. And he was sort of a handyman too, like he did a lot of things, you know. His father was sent there to work in the camps. You know, he was banished, sort of. And then his girlfriend or his eventual wife, you know, wanted to get there, sent there also, because she wanted to be with him. And so she was an aide to the Tsar's wife. She was an aide, and so she begged the Tsar's wife to send her there to be with her husband. Klesh is, I guess, my father's real last name, Kless. That's his biological name. So he was sent there anyway, so his wife followed him. They lived in Siberia, and the wolves, there's lots of wolves there. And his father was killed in Siberia soon after my dad was born. The Politburo, they came to sort of the town that they were in, and the Politburo, like, in their needed places to stay, and so they basically said, "Oh, I'm staying here and st in here and here," and they just picked houses to stay in or whatever. And so there was a whole bunch of that stayed in. They stayed in the grandfather's house, and of course, you know, they're drinking and they were loud, and my dad was just a baby then, and he was doing a lot of crying, and they basically were telling my grandfather, you know, make him shut up. Because, you know, he's interrupting our evening. My grandfather, you know, well, he tried. He put all the family into one room. And of course, the baby was still crying. My dad was still crying. One of the soldiers came up to the door and was going to grab, you know, the baby and, you know, basically throw him out. And this was in the winter. And he was going to throw him out. And my dad interfered. And they were by the front door, I guess. And I guess they all tumbled out the door. My grandmother grabbed the baby, Georges, and so my grandfather and the soldier were kind of scuffling in the yard, and the soldier shot him. And so she brought him back in and tried to get him to the hospital. They brought him to the, well, there's a mini hospital there, kind of on the base, on the, you know, sort of, but he died from his injuries. His mother, the mother, stayed there in Omsk for a while until she got some kind of cancer also. They stayed in Siberia for a while. Eventually, they did leave Siberia, but when she died, her sister adopted dad, Esther. But when she died a few years after, she only lived a few years after, I'm pretty sure. Her sister, Mina, adopted my dad. The children didn't have anybody to take care of them, so I imagine that, you know, Mina and her family came and took the kids away, and Chucks became the family name. He never talked much about his youth. Towards the end of my dad's life, he started talking a little bit more, but he was talking more to my sister. My sister and her husband were living with him at the house. So he talked a little bit more there. I do know that at 16, my dad's family, like the one that adopted him, they farmed, because there is a farm that actually, when we went to Latvia, we went and saw. So they farmed. So he stayed there till he was about, you know, but he left to go to war, or like to, you know, to fight. My dad's schooling, I think, was very short. He probably went to Valka to school, and their farm was just a little ways outside of Valka, which is close to the Estonian border. Well, I have a feeling they targeted my dad's family, because he was in the resistance. You know, he fought in the resistance, so I'm sure he fled. He made the decision to flee, and he knew my mom somehow. And apparently, my mom was 16 when they fled. Yeah, they were married in 47 in Germany. They were married in the DP camp. Oh, dad was also training for the Olympics before the war broke out. He was a runner. Okay, he was in the Latvian Legion in 1942, and he was drafted by the Germans in 1944. And then, like in 45, he went to, I'm sure he went to Germany. He was in the Giften camp, Camp Sarsted, and in the region of Hanover. An instructor of the sports section of the camp. I know that they were hungry quite often. They would steal apples from, you know, from trees like that were growing there, like they'd, you know, living, you know, they'd go outside and they would steal things like to eat in the DP camp. They did have a good time because they were young, you know, so I think, you know, they would get into trouble occasionally from what I gather, you know. They left to go to England, and I was born in England. Well, I was born near Skipton. Coniston Cold was the town that they went to. We stayed in the vicarage at Coniston Cold. They were approved admission to Canada in 52. As Dad's listed on my birth certificate as a mill worker. I'm sure Mum was working in the mill too. Dad went over first to England, and then my mum followed him. With Canada, they all came together. We all arrived on the boat, RMS Ascania. Oh yeah, we arrived in October of 52. Yeah, on the Ascania. We went from Liverpool. They traveled to Liverpool, then to Quebec, and from Montreal. And then we went to Montreal, and from Montreal we went to Winnipeg, because my mum's brother, who lived in Winnipeg, he sponsored, you know, my family to go. So we ended up in Winnipeg for about a year. So Dad said, no, we got to find our own place. And that's when Dad found out about John Jones. John Jones sponsored a lot of Latvians. John Jones helped a lot of Latvians to come to Alberta. And my dad was one of them. He got Dad set up in kind of in the logging business at first. So my dad went first, and then my mom and me followed. And like I said, he gave Dad money to travel and to get settled in Lake Isle. Actually, our first place in Lake Isle. And I do remember some places, like when we first arrived in Lake Isle, we stayed on the south side of the lake. I just have very, very vague memories of staying on the south side of the lake there with a family in a house, a small house or whatever. So we stayed in Lake Isle for a few months, I guess. And then we, you know, he moved to Edmonton to get, you know, a different kind of work. Did try to open a cafeteria in Bruderheim after we moved to Edmonton. But I think that lasted only not quite a year or even less than a year also. Because the highway that they built at that time, and I was trying to find out when they were building that highway, it sort of bypassed Bruderheim. And that's when he left, because the cafe wasn't going to make any money with the highway not going through Bruderheim. But, it was everything was Latvian. Like, when we came here to Edmonton, there was a lot of other Latvians in Edmonton, and they would all get together, like, you know, and celebrate Latvian things all over the place. Like, we talked Latvian. I didn't know English when I started school, so I had kind of a hard time in grade one because I didn't understand English. It was Latvian. It was a lot more Latvian than English, but then as the other kids started to come, I have a brother and a sister. As the other kids started coming, they started more and more English talking. As a result, my sister and brother do not know and cannot understand Latvian. I can understand it, and I can speak it a little bit. When my brother was born, it took him a long time to start talking, and he was born 5 years after me. And he wouldn't talk because he was getting English from around him, because they decided to start talking English when I started school because I was going to have a hard time, so they had to learn English too. When my brother didn't start talking until he was very old, the doctor said to him, he says, you better switch to one language because the boy is confused. He can't understand. So that's when they started talking English mostly. We had Latvian school that I went to, the other kids, and, you know, I learned folk songs, although I can't remember very, you know, a lot of them now. Like, a lot of them I can't remember at all. Dancing, Latvian dancing and stuff like that. So I was the only one who really had any kind of Latvian connection at all. I think at the time, I think they were more concerned about blending in rather than, you know, trying to keep things alive, because it was more important at that time to blend in so that, you know, the lives would be easier for everybody. It was, wasn't until I was older that I started to get involved with Latvian community. My dad was the president of a group called Daugavpils. And Daugavpils is more the veterans, soldiers group. Yeah, it was kind of like a legion, I guess, you know. So he was president of that for quite a bit. And when I grew older, I also tried to become involved with Daugavpils, but they were trying to keep it more Latvian in it. At that point, I couldn't carry on enough conversations in Latvia to, you know, Latvian to make it, to pass it down to children. And they wanted to keep everything Latvian, at least there. And I kept trying to say, no, you have to change to English and you know, so that other young kids can join and we can keep it going. But it was very hard. They wouldn't do it. So as a result, Daugavpils is not around anymore. And then they decided to have sort of a youth component of Daugavpils, which I tried to start. And it didn't get very far. All of us kids who grew up at that time were all English. Very few of us kept talking in Latvian and everything because, you know, we were being assimilated into the culture here, and it was really hard to keep up. So a lot of them, you know, don't know Latvian. There's very few families that stuck to speaking Latvian at home. So I'm really glad that I still have it, that I can speak it. Words like I would always say to my kids, you know, keep your bixis on, which means keep your pants on, like, you know, when they're in a rush and everything. And my daughter, when she went to Latvia, she says she never really understood, like she never really questioned or whatever, but she saw the sign bixis in a window. That's what that is, you know. So little words like, culturally, they were very nationalistic. They, you know, they came with their, you know, their dance costumes. He started a dance group. I was part of the dance group. My mum was very fluent in Latvian, German, Russian, and Polish. And then she learned English when she came here. And English is one of the hardest languages to learn. Yeah. And my dad, I think he just spoke Latvian, and I think he understood German. I think there were a lot of Latvians already around here, because I do remember them all getting together, or a lot of the Latvians getting together. Like John Jones, like he sponsored lots of Latvians in Alberta. And so as a result, there was always that connection. Everyone sort of knew everybody. So I know when we were here, I just remember the parties. Like, you know, everybody getting together and having a really good time, like at the celebrations, like solstice and, you know, different celebrations here and there. And they would all get together. So, yeah, they had their own community here that, you know, that they were able to. So they had a lot of, you know, backup, a lot of friends, a lot of Latvian friends here. He built his own house in Lake Isle. He bought some land from Eddie Jones, which was John Jones's son. And he built his own house there in Lake Isle, and that's where they lived until they passed away. We got our citizenship in 72, all of us. There was always a small framed poster. It wasn't very big, and always hung in our house. And basically it was a picture of a Latvian girl in costume sitting there, and, you know, the oak leaves all around and everything. And basically it just said, you know, unto you, Latvia, we're always thinking of you. It was always in the house. And all sorts of other Latvian things. My dad was a carver, so he would carve frames, picture frames, and, you know, they would all have the Latvian designs on it. We're all of us are all very familiar with the Latvian designs and everything, and the different symbolisms of Latvia. We all wore the Latvian rings, the Latvian jewelry, the other rings. My daughter still wears Latvian rings. But there was always Latvian things around, always newspapers, books. My dad, he had a Latvian library that he would loan out books to other Latvians too. Yeah, like he would sign out books. He had lots of Latvian books. Education was very high on their list. You know, they always agreed that everybody should have at least the high school education. When they came here, they worked in the factories when they came to Edmonton, I know. I think they were the chemical factories. But here, I know Mom worked hard. My dad didn't help too much with the housework and stuff like that until he was much, much older. Then he helped mom out. My dad was a man of many trades. He was also a writer. He would write a lot of journal articles that he would send to the Toronto Latvian paper. I think he did express a lot of things that way. But on the whole, I think a lot of times they were more frightened to say anything so that they didn't kind of want to rock the boat or make it hard for their relatives that were still in Latvia in case somebody found out. They were always sort of kind of under that cloud. They didn't want to get too vocal about anything. Here, like the people who try and keep things alive here, it's all the way the old way used to be. Even the speech and everything, it's all the way the old way used to be. And it hasn't really grown, or it hasn't evolved. It's just kind of stayed from what they remember in Latvia, and then that's what they try and do here. And kind of like in a time capsule, like they can't, they never burst out of it really. They just kept everything the way it was before the Russians came and destroyed everything. And that's how they wanted to remember it. And I think that's how they sort of kept it. Like, because everything we were taught, everything I was taught as Latvian was all the way that they, always the way they remembered it, all the old songs and everything, the old, the observances and everything was all old style. Because I know when I went back to Latvia, and even when I was talking, my relatives there would look at me and they say, "You speak old Latvian." Because that was how, I was brought up. That's the way my parents, the language never sort of evolved. It stayed kind of old Latvian. Their memories, and we're keeping it, those memories alive, but it's not evolving. Or so I think the more pure. I think a lot of the Latvians here are more pure Latvians than the Latvians, I think, in Latvia. I would like to see my kids carry on. And I think in a way they will, because the way I grew up, with all the Latvian stuff, that's what they know. That's the only thing I can pass on to them is just, what I understood as Latvians and that kind of thing. Eventually it'll get lost down the line. They were proud to be in Canada, away from everything, but they were still Latvians at heart. They were always Latvians at heart. But they would never deny saying that they were a Canadian citizen, because they were, I think they were pretty happy that they were Canadian citizens, because I mean, Canada gave them a lot of opportunities, and it made them free. Oak leaf, I think, because I grew up with oak all around everywhere. Like Dad would carve oaks in the frames and everything, like oak leaves, and that oak leaf. I know my kids are thinking about getting tattoos, and they want an oak leaf incorporated into it. But oak leaf, yeah, is very strong in our family anyway. All my kids are kind of that way too. An oak leaf represents Latvia to them.